As I said before, our text for this morning's message is from Genesis chapter 2. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." Dear friends in Christ, I don't know how many people here remember the musical Fiddler on the Roof, but these verses always remind me of the song, "Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match," right? "Find me a fine, catch me a catch. Matchmaker, matchmaker, look through your book and make me a perfect match." This is Tevye's daughters singing this, wanting the matchmaker of the village to find them a match. Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. But of course, as the song goes on, and they start considering all the possibilities of who the matchmaker might exactly match them with, they realize that, well, maybe every match isn't perfect. And that, as one line in the song goes, "Playing with matches, a girl could get burned." So they decided they don't want to match after all. Now, our society's not all that big on arranged marriages. That's too bad. I know it sounds kind of funny to say that. Because sometimes those with the wisdom of a few more years can actually better foresee how a match will actually come out. If not perfectly, but at least close. They certainly couldn't do any worse than, what is it, the success rate of marriages in our society today. In our text today, we find something really interesting. It's that God likes to arrange marriages, especially, of course, the first one. And that's very good for us, because even before that first marriage, God actually saw so much more than just the match of Adam and Eve. You see, it's good that God arranged marriage because he knew the perfect match. The very first verse, "It is not good that man should be alone." This is interesting because in Genesis, all through Genesis chapter 1, as God is creating the world on days 1 through 5 and even into day 6, God says, at the very end of each section, it says, "And God saw that it was good." And here in verse 18, he says, "It is not good that man should be alone." See, all the other species, all the other animals had helpers or had mates, if you will. Man did not have anybody. And of course, what the devil wants to do, what Satan wants to do, is he wants to divide those things that God unites. He wants to divide man from God. He wants to separate us from God. And the devil, he further wants to divide man from woman, from body from soul, and body into dust. Satan, all he seeks to do is to divide. Now, let's face it. In our sin, we'd kind of rather be alone or find somebody to go and sin with us so there's misery in numbers. Many times we'd rather preserve our own life before preserving others. Nothing probably is a better example than the shipwreck of the Costa Concordia. I don't know if you remember. It was a few years back off the coast of Italy. We all know the story of the Titanic, right? You've probably seen the movie. The cry goes out, women and children first, because the men's job is to protect and to sacrifice. And in that case, the women and the children got on the lifeboats before any man did. And most of the men that were on the Titanic stayed and died. It was just the opposite. On the coast of Concordia, one of the first people off the ship was the captain. And there are stories about when they were abandoning ship, of the sailors, of the men, of the crew people, the crewmen on that ship, shoving passengers, shoving women and children and passengers out of the way in order to get off this shipwreck. People in our world want to preserve our own lives before we preserve others. We'd rather assert our own identity independent of anybody else. You see, Christians, as Christians, we have to realize is that our identity is tied into our family, tied into the family of God. Our identity is in Christ, in God. The world doesn't see it that way, and it infects us as well. Our own identity is independent of anything else. And we prefer to seek our own fulfillment, a fulfillment that we choose for ourselves. And so what is the result of division that Satan causes, that our own sinful human nature causes? Well, it's a life that's turned in upon itself, a life that seeks solitude. The theological term for it is the Latin word incurvatus. We are curved in upon ourselves. That's what sin, our own sinful human nature, does. You see, and what happens is that the isolated life does not grow beyond its own self. And the isolated life bears no fruit. If you'll remember, the command of God when God places Adam and Eve there in the garden was to be fruitful and multiply. And the isolated life really has no fulfillment at the end of time. So what is God's answer to this Satan seeking division, seeking separateness? While the man slept, God took one of his ribs, and the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman. I love the Hebrew here. The Hebrew word here is man and woman, ish and isha. Ish and isha is the two words here. Man, ish, and isha is woman. They have some other words. Even the word Adam, the word for woman is Adama. And what we see there is that there is an interconnectedness. There is a oneness in that. What we see here is that God takes one of Adam's ribs, and kind of in this whole passage, we see the vocation of the bridegroom, of the husband. The man is the seed through which human life is generated. The man's fruitfulness is through laying down his life for his beloved. In Ephesians chapter 5, we see that. It says, you know, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and laid down his life for her. That's the command through Paul that we get. So our fruitfulness is through laying down his life for his beloved. And the fulfillment of the man is through communion with the one whom God gives to him. Now, the vocation of the bride is interesting again because the Hebrew word translated is for ribs, one of his ribs, is the word selah, which is translated, what typically means side, like the side of a building or the side of a boat. That's what it means. So it's an integral part of that, that whatever it is. And he made it into a woman. And this again is another, the Hebrew, you get a little bit more with the Hebrew. It's kind of cool. The Hebrew verb means actually built into a woman. So we kind of have these interesting things. It's usually used in reference to the building or of a dwelling place, like a city or a house. So the woman is the place in which life is generated, and that life is housed, if you will, nourished and perfected. And the woman receives the life of her beloved with thanksgiving. The woman's fulfillment is through communion, of course, with the one that God gives to her. and they shall become one flesh, in verse 24. Christ, of course, is the only true, the one true bridegroom. Christ freely lays down his life for his beloved. And in fact, in early Christian tradition, the sleep of Adam that we see, where God put him into a deep sleep, in the early Christian tradition, it was seen as already prophesying the death of Christ, from which his bride, the church, is generated. So Christ actually counts us as necessary for his life, for his own life. And his union with the church is the perfect arranged marriage, if you will. You see, in communion with Christ, we are no longer alone. We are one. The Hebrew word here is echad. It literally means one. Echad. We are joined together. We are glued together. We are one with Christ. And in communion with Christ, the church actually becomes a fruitful mother bearing the children of God. You see, God knew what he was doing when he arranged that first marriage. What he does is he gives us this beautiful picture of what Christ does for the church when he lays down his life for us, when he is raised again so that we too can rise again to new life in him. He gives us that beautiful picture of this marriage between Christ and his bride, the church. And if you will, that is the perfect match. Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen.